chapter 7. Our text for this morning is the verse 2. Exodus 7 and verse 2. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. Preparing for battle. That's our subject for this morning. Moses had already delivered his first message from Jehovah to Pharaoh, called upon him to let the children of Israel go. That message was not very well received. Indeed, it was resulted in Pharaoh increasing burdens upon the children of Israel. Moses himself was deeply disappointed and discouraged by all of this. And so chapter 6 closes with God's servant bemoaning the hopelessness of the situation. What Moses needed was a word from the Lord to lift his spirits, to strengthen him for the task which lay ahead and the work that God had given him to do. Very often God's servants are discouraged in the work, and what lifts them up is a word from the Lord. Just as the psalmist has said, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Psalm 119, verse 28. In the opening verse of chapter 7 of Exodus, Moses received that word. The word had required Moses to go again to Pharaoh. And that word had the required effect. And so from chapter 7, we see there that there is a marked change, an attitude to Moses. You recall in our study how when Moses was first called by the Lord, that Moses presented excuse after excuse after excuse why he couldn't go. He eventually did go, and as we've already said this morning, he was disappointed with the response that he received from Pharaoh. But now receiving a word from God, he's no more timid, hesitant, or discouraged. Moses is now ready, by the power of Jehovah, to face Pharaoh and deliver God's word to him once again. So the gauntlet, as it were, has been thrown down. And now it is open war between the Almighty and Pharaoh. And for this great conflict between good and evil, I want us first of all to notice this morning God and his preparing of Moses. It'll just be the first point we'll get to deal with this morning. God and his preparing of Moses. God had, of course, chosen and called Moses and his brother Aaron to lead Israel out of Egypt. And when God calls a man, he always prepares him for the work that he has called him to do. And we see here how God prepared Moses for the wrath and the wickedness of Pharaoh that he would face in the winning of the battle and the leading of Israel out of Egypt. So regarding the preparing of Moses, let us notice first of all the man. The men being Moses and Aaron. And we have learned a number of things about the man, and particularly about Moses, the man whom God had chosen to be Israel's deliverer and emancipator. But here in the chapter 7, we learn something more about this chosen vessel of the Lord. If you look there at verse 7. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. So one was 80 years of age, and the other was 83 years of age. And here we find that God can use any man or woman, doesn't matter what age they are. Both young and old, and every age group in between, can be used by God to further His kingdom. For example, we read in 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, and the child, Samuel, ministered unto the Lord before Eli. The child, Samuel, ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And when David, the son of Jesse, returned from slaying the giant Goliath, Saul said regarding David, he said, "Whose son art thou, thy young man?" The Lord chose a young man like David, reckoned to be about 17 years of age, to go against Goliath. And that same young man, God chose to be Israel's king. Chosen by the Lord to be the king of Israel. And speaking about kings, we read in 2 Chronicles 24, verse 13, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. This Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. There's something interesting there. Joash, 7 years of age. And these words tell us that the Lord takes note of how a seven-year-old lives. The Lord's eye is upon individual children. The Lord spoke about Joash, and the Lord said, Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. We may tend to look upon children and say, "Ah, well, when they do something, well, they're only children." The Lord takes note. And He took note of the life of Joash, that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So no one is too young to be raised up and used by the Lord. Just as Paul said to Timothy. Timothy, son in the faith. Timothy, young preacher. Paul said to Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth. But be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity." 1 Timothy 4:12. So we have given some examples of the young whom the Lord is pleased, was pleased to raise up, and the young whom the Lord is pleased to use. But let's go to the other end of the spectrum. What about the older generation? Will the Lord have a work for the older folk to do? Well, turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 2. And there in Luke chapter 2, we read in verse 36. And there was one Hannah, the prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Issachar. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years of her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, listen, departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Mentioned nowhere else in the scriptures, this godly Christian woman called Anna served the Lord in the temple in her old age. She was of a great age, but it said, served the Lord. And you'll notice the zeal that she had too. She served the Lord night and day. Now supposing she was 20 when she got married. Her husband died just 7 years later. So you add the 27 to her age that's mentioned here, that means she would have possibly been 111 years of age. So certainly over 100. And yet we read she served the Lord. Yet what do we read? She departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. She may not have been very active physically, but she was certainly active spiritually. She served God, what with? Her prayers and fastings. She served God through a life of prayer. We praise the Lord for those saints that serve God through their prayers. She was over 100 years old and still serving God. Like Manson. And we read about in Acts 21 and verse 16. There Manson is described as an aged disciple or an old disciple. He's still involved in the Lord's work. Even though he's called an old disciple. Now the reason for looking at those servants of the Lord and their ages, they have related to Moses and to Aaron. The Lord had chosen two men, two brothers. And the Lord had put his hand upon Moses, the younger of the two, by 3 years. And he was the one who would face Pharaoh. He was the one whom God had chosen to lead Israel out. And what do we find? And Moses was 84 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spake unto Pharaoh. 2/3 of their lives had already been spent. They would live another 40 years. They were 80. 2/3 of the life was gone. But the Lord was still pleased to take them up and use them for yourselves. What percentage of your life and mine has gone? What have we accomplished for the Lord in that period of time? Is there a work for us to do now? Even though we have more years behind us than we have in front of us, is there still a work for us to do? Of course there is. Of course there is. God can and will use any one of His servants in His service, no matter what their age is. What do we read about Anna? She served God. Fastings and prayers night and day. When Duncan Campbell was called of the Lord to go to the Isle of Lewis, he was met by a number of elders from one of the churches there. And they had asked him once he got off the boat, said to Mr. Campbell, "Do you know God?" Of course they knew he was a saved man, but they wanted to know how well he knew God. Then later on, he met two sisters. They were aged sisters. And they informed him that they had been praying for him for a number of years that he would come over to the Isle of Lewis and preach the word. They'd been praying for them. There wasn't a great deal else that they could do, but they could pray. They were prayer warriors. That's what the church needs more prayer warriors. Now what Paul says, strive with me in your prayer. Strive, battle with me in your prayers. And so here we see that God takes two men in their 80s and uses them in the battle, in the fight against Pharaoh. John Wesley. Do you know? John Wesley was preaching the gospel every day when he was 88 years of age. 88 years of age, and he was still going out on horseback and preaching the gospel. There is no retirement age in the Lord's work. None. You never read that. We mentioned before the example the Lord Jesus has set for us. The opening two verses of Acts. And there we read that the Lord Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day he was taken up. In other words, he was serving his heavenly Father until the day he was taken up. There's an example. We sang this morning about following in the Savior's footsteps. But let's follow and serve the Lord until the day we're taken up. So we have the men. Next, we notice in these opening verses, we have making. The Lord said unto Moses, "See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron, thy brother, shall be thy prophet." So the preparing of Moses for the Lord's service had to do with what God made them. "See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh." Wasn't a God to anybody else, a God to Pharaoh. Small g, of course. This means that Moses would go forth to face Pharaoh as God's representative. He would go forth and face Pharaoh and speak with the authority of the Almighty, with the authority of Jehovah. He, through Aaron, would speak with the authority of Jehovah. He would require Egypt's king to obey him, and let the children of Israel go. This, in stark contrast to what Moses said in Exodus 6, You look there in Exodus 6 and verse 30, and Moses said before the Lord, "Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me?" He's ready to give up already. He was ready to give up before the work had even begun. But that timidity and fearfulness and weakness has now gone because of what God had made him. Because what Jehovah had made his servants, Moses a god and Aaron a prophet. So God will and can make us what he wants us to be. If God wants us to do a particular task and carry out a particular service, God will make us and prepare us for that work. God will do that. Isaiah 64 and verse 8. "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are thy clay. And thou art potter. And we all are the work of thy hand." There you have it. Moses, the divine potter. Our God, the divine potter. And Moses, the clay. And of course we know the potter can form that piece of clay into whatever shape he or she wants it to be used. And here God is the potter and Moses is the clay. And God is making Moses. "I have made thee a god unto Pharaoh." You know how we hear from time to time individuals being described as self-made millionaires. They're self-made. Tell you something. Nobody in God's service is self-made. Everyone involved in God's service is God-made. Made what God wants them to do. And what did the Lord say to his first disciples? You remember, by the Sea of Galilee? He said, "Follow me, and I will make thee." You follow me, and I'll do the making. And I will make you fishers of men. If they were to be fishers of men or true soul winners, then the Lord would have to do the making. He would have no place. He would have placed them, as it were, upon the potter's wheel. And by the skill of the potter, made them into true soul winners. You look at the ministry of Peter on the day of Pentecost. God made him what he was on the day of Pentecost. No matter what sphere of service the Lord calls us to, he must do the making. Paul said, quoting the psalmist, 1 verse 7, he was quoting Psalm 104 verse 4, "Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers flaming fire." He makes them. He maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flaming fire. And isn't that what we need? Need the fire. And God's servants need the fire. As our former moderator would always say, if you have a fireman in the pulpit, or a man on fire in the pulpit, you'll have no snowman in the pew. For the Lord said, I'll make you a flame of fire. Isn't that what we all want to be? We want to be like John the Baptist. What was said about John the Baptist? John 5, verse 35. He was a burning and a shining light. He was a burning and shining light. The Lord made him a burning and shining light. He wasn't self-made. This is what God made him. So let us, believer, let us pray. Lord, put me on the potter's wheel. Lord, make me a burning and a shining light in this dark, wicked world. God made Moses and Aaron. That's what it says. So you have the man, you have the making, and then you have the... There's a must here. Look again at the text. Verse 2, Exodus 7. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh and the children of Israel out of his land. Notice the opening part of that verse. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. There's the must. There you have the must do. They must deliver God's word as God gave it to them. Thou shalt. You go through the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt. There's no room for compromise. And so there was no room for compromise as far as Moses was concerned. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. We can see from these words that God did not allow any room for Moses to select or choose what he thought should be said to Pharaoh. Do you notice that? No, it wasn't left up to Moses to take out of the message what he thought would be proper for Pharaoh. No. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. Moses, you leave nothing out. There was no room for him to select and choose from Jehovah's words what he should say. He must relate to all that Jehovah said. It was to be as true and faithful to God's word as Apostle Paul was. Paul's to be so many. But you recall when he was saying farewell to the elders of the church in Ephesus, he had ministered there for over 3 years. And he's about to leave them, and he calls for the elders, and he addresses them. And he reflects on his years of ministry there, with them and amongst them. And we read in Acts chapter 20. Verse 26, Paul says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. It's quite a statement. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Mark those words again. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. In other words, Paul says there's not one man in the congregation there in Ephesus who will be able to point the finger at me in the day of judgment and say, Paul, you never told me. You never warned me. You never told me about my need of Christ. Not one, not one. As the Lord has said in Ezekiel regarding those unfaithful ministers who do not deliver God's word and do not deliver God's truth to the people, God said, I will demand the blood of the men that you didn't preach to at your hands on the day of judgment. I will hold you responsible. I will require the blood of those men at your hands if you didn't tell them the truth. But here's Paul. He says, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. There's not a man or a woman in the church in Ephesus who point the finger at me in the day of judgment and say, Paul, you never told me. Because he was able to say, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Shunned. The word shunned there means to draw back or to keep back. In other words, God gives Paul a word and he does not keep any of it back. He delivered the whole counsel of God. All that God gave him, Paul delivered it. And look again at the verse 20 of Acts 20. And how I kept back nothing. The same thought again. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. That's what the Lord expected of Paul, or of Moses. Isn't that the advice that Paul gave to Timothy? Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. In other words, Timothy, you preach the word. Don't hold anything back, whether it's liked or it's disliked. Whether people like what you're saying or they don't like what you're saying, don't hold anything back. After all, Moses was going to face Pharaoh, and Pharaoh didn't like what Moses would say. He was to declare it anyway. He was to be a faithful servant of God. That's what the Lord expects us all to be. Faithful. Doesn't say successful. I want you to be faithful. As we read in 1 Timothy 6, in verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. That's plain enough. That's right, he's proud. Doesn't want anybody to say anything against him because of what he says. He's proud. Tell you something. It's better to offend men than offend. And Moses was to go to Pharaoh and he was to tell Pharaoh exactly what God said. Thus far we have considered and God preparing Moses. We've seen the man and the making and the must. And we have the message. In this verse, too, God's servants were given the message that God commanded them to deliver Pharaoh. Speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of his land. Here's the message. That he send the children of Israel out of his land. Well, did Moses do that? Did he follow through? And what God told him to do and God told him to say. You look at the verse 6, Exodus 7, verse 6. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. Don't you like that? God told them what to do, and it says, so did they. I believe we are told this here in verse 6 for a very good reason. When we see what took place at the first meeting between Moses and Pharaoh. If you go back to chapter 5. Chapter 5 and the opening three verses. Exodus 5 verses 1 to 3. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. That's what he said the first time. He talked about going into the wilderness 3 days' journey. But you know something? The Lord didn't tell him that at all. That's not what the Lord told Moses to tell Pharaoh. The message was the same as we have in chapter 7. He was to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. There was no mention of going 3 days' journey into the wilderness to sacrifice unto the Lord there. And we read then in the chapter 5 when Moses said that, then they said, verse 3, the God of Hebrews has met with us, let us go, and we pray thee, 3 days' journey. Listen, here's Moses, and he's pleading with Pharaoh. Let us go, we pray thee. He's pleading with them. That was not the message God gave Moses for Pharaoh. Moses, God did not tell Moses to go and plead with Pharaoh. God told Moses he was to go and command Pharaoh. Let my people go. Here they are pleading with Pharaoh instead of giving God's command. They tell Pharaoh something which God never said to them at all. What are they doing? They're watering down the word. Maybe Moses felt, well, maybe what God told us to do, thou shalt let the children of Israel go. Perhaps Moses felt, well, that's a wee bit harsh. So he modifies the message somewhat. He waters it down. And instead of delivering God's command, what does he do? Let the people go, I pray thee. No. We come now to the chapter 7, and God said, I have made thee a God unto Pharaoh. And Moses, thou shalt not be pleading with Pharaoh. Thou shalt command Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go. They were not to take anything away from what God told them. They were not to add anything to what God had said the first time. God didn't tell them to go and plead with Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go 3 days' journey into the desert or into the wilderness. No. God told Moses to command Pharaoh. And so this time, it was to be the truth. It was to be the whole truth. It was to be nothing but the truth. And that's what God demands of his servants today. Nothing has changed. No watering down of the word. No wavering in preaching the word of God. You turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 17, for we are not as many. She's speaking about many. Paul says, we are not part of that crowd, the many. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God in the sight of God, so we speak we in Christ. We're not as many as corrupt. The word corrupt means to deal deceitfully. To deal deceitfully. To tear it down. Not to tell the whole truth. Moses, you go and you tell Pharaoh the whole truth. You're not to add anything or take anything away. And here's Paul, for we are not as many. We're not part of the many who corrupt the word of God. We're not numbered with the many. But what are we? Paul says, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. What God has given me to speak, Paul says, that's what I'll speak. What God has given me to preach, that's what I'll preach. What God has given me to say unto the people, that's what I'll speak. And boy, isn't that needed today. More Pauls who are able to say, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Start to finish. All of the word of the Lord. So we see then that Moses, as it were, had learned his lesson. For we read in the opening verses of the chapter 7, the Lord said unto Moses, see. He draws attention to the fact. See, Moses, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. And we go over to the verse 6. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. No more pleading. Didn't mention about going into the desert or into the wilderness A 3 days journey, no. What was the word? God said, you're to let the children of Israel go. And that was it. It was a preparing for the battle. And we'll take up this study again next week in the preparing of God's servants and how the Lord equipped them and prepared them for the battle with Pharaoh. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Our loving God, we come to thee again, precious name of our Savior, sole head and King of the church. Lord, I pray that in this day of apostasy, the great falling away, this day of great wickedness, that, Lord, thou would raise up men like Paul, preachers of righteousness, that will not shun, will not be afraid to declare all the counsel of God. Not be afraid to tell men and women their need of Christ. They need to be saved or perish in a lost eternity. Even as it was the message of the Puritans, turn or burn. Lord, I pray in this day that many indeed will be turned from the paths of sin to the highway of righteousness that leads to heaven and home and glory. Lord, be with us now as we part one from the other. Bless our congregation. May thy blessing be upon all our visitors too. Keep thy hand upon them, Lord, and their going out and coming in. Remember us, Lord, tonight. Come, we pray, and meet with us around the word again. As we look upon Christ, see him as the perfect preacher. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.